Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 306 on DGS. A different DGS because it's more just Kevin and Bernie. But Bernie Miklas in with me. Obviously, I'm in today and throughout the rest of the week. Normally, none of us are here on Wednesday for New Year's Day. But I'll be in tomorrow following the Billikens game. So even that's going to be weird because we're not going to start till like 3:30 and we'll only go till the normal end of the show at 5. But Dave and Rachel and Andrew still enjoying the holidays. Rach and Andrew will be back Thursday and Friday with me. Next week, we're back to normal. Does it feel, are you feeling back to normal yet, Bern, or are you still kind of, I'm still caught up in the holiday haze of not knowing what day it is.
No, I'm kind of like that too, and I don't host a daily weekday show or be part of it, full-time host a daily weekday show like you do. So I'm used to being at home a lot and doing my stuff there, and so it's been fun to kind of come down to KMOX to the studio. It's been a change in routine. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
But I also am kind of like, it'd be fun to get back home too. I'm used to my routine, you know. Although, you know, I'm doing this YouTube channel and it's going really well. And I'm not bringing this up for shameless self promotion.
But you should.
I spent all morning, not all morning. I spent a good hour and a half, 2 hours working on a video today, and I could not get the thing online because I couldn't get my camera synced up. And so I'm talking. And, you know, I'm like behind what people can hear. They see my mouth move, mm-hmm. and I'm like 3-4 seconds behind. I tried everything to reset that thing, to reboot it. So today, you know, I'm not as much into a post-holiday haze as it is like I'm getting back in the routine. And it seems like just when you're sort of getting back into the routine, that's when stuff goes wrong. That stuff that was not going wrong before.
Right, right.
You know, like all of a sudden out of the blue, what is this all about? It's funny how that works.
Are you like me? Because when stuff like that happens, I get irrationally angry.
I do too.
Like I throw stuff. I break things. I get really frustrated when simple things don't work the way they should.
I could do the video now. I can just, like, I sort of have a script that I wasn't able to record. Maybe I could use KMOX facilities to cut a video.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm good. If any of you who are subscribers or you're wondering where I am, that's what happened.
Yeah.
I was out of commission because of
technical difficulties.
Tech problems.
Yeah. Technical difficulties. All right, let's talk some cards, Bern. You know, we touched on a bunch of things in our Gas House Gang, which we did live in the 1 o'clock hour here today. If you missed it, go to anywhere you get podcasts, Odyssey app, iTunes, Spotify, you name it. Anywhere you get podcasts, you can get the Gas House Gang, and you can get it on KMOX.com as well. We talked a lot about the cards in our year in review, but I want to look ahead to 2025 in a little bit more depth, and not so much wins and losses, because we don't even know what the roster is going to look like yet. We don't know if Arenado is going to be here or not. We don't know what any other moves are going to be, who's going to step up, and so I don't want to go there.
Right.
Let's just talk about the vibe around the team. Like, heading into 2025, what do you think we're looking at in terms of attendance? Like, we all know it's going to drop, but there's a lot of feedback that I get, and I'm sure you're getting a lot of the same stuff. Like, oh, it's going to collapse. They're not even going to draw 2 million people. And I'm like, you know, there's going to be a drop. I still think that place is going to be more full than all but maybe 7 or 8 stadiums in Major League Baseball.
I would agree.
I still think the television ratings are going to be as strong as they normally are. I don't think interest is going to decline because I don't think that fans that are angry are disinterested. They're just angry,
that's
which
exactly
is
right.
Okay.
But 100% right. Yeah.
I don't think anybody stops paying attention is what I'm saying.
That's exactly right. Just look at the content that we do in Gas House Gang. Look, I've learned that 100% doing YouTube videos, the interest levels in the Cardinals, and I talk about them virtually every day, the numbers are always really high. The numbers are great.
Mm-hmm.
If I do another topic, numbers aren't so great. people care about the Cardinals, to your point, to repeat what you said. Even if they're mad, disappointed, frustrated, disgusted, they've taken a position like the only way I can protest this is I'm not going to buy tickets or I'm not going to buy as many tickets. I'm not going to buy the merch, you know, right on down the line, which is totally cool because that's the best way to protest anyway.
That's how you speak.
But these people don't like the people that take that position and more power to them. They don't stop paying attention to the Cardinals. They're just not. They made a decision, a business decision, not to give them as much as of their hard-earned income. That's all.
Right.
And it's two different things.
That's correct.
You know, I have people on my YouTube thing, like giving me grief. It's just like, why are you talking about the Cardinals? You know, it's not even baseball season. They suck. What do you do? Why don't you talk about this? Why don't you talk? You know why? Because I'm a businessman. And I'm not going to talk about stuff that like 400 people will watch when the Cardinals will get me like 1,800 to 2,500 every day. That's why.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear that like attendance will come down.
Yeah. It will.
And we all know, look, all understand.
Where are you going to go? You're going to go 2.4? Yeah.
I was going to say 2.5-ish. Yeah. Yeah. So a little more, a little less, but it all depends on how the season goes. Because if you're like these past, if you're like this past season, I'm going to peg it right at 2.5 million.
Right.
You're at two, and again, I'm talking tickets sold because that's all that gets announced. Right. We can't measure butts in seats because it doesn't get announced.
All you got to do is look at it. Yes. You can tell.
So you can eyeball it. We know that this year there was like almost 2.9 million tickets sold. We know that there weren't that many people in the stadium.
No.
We know that. And they know it, and they've acknowledged it, right?
Sure.
I mean, that's a part of what's happening here.
It's no secret.
But if you end up better than you think, like if you end up winning 90-plus games, I think it's going to be a higher number because as the season goes along, more people will jump on. If you're fun. If you're fun and you're good, you're going to get more people that jump on. If you're not, it could be lower than that. So right now, I'm just kind of ballparking it at that, assuming that it looks something like 2024 did record-wise in that low 80s win total range. If it's that, 2.5 million. But if you end up 90, 92, 93 wins and there's some buzz in September and the playoffs are on the horizon, that number's going to go up.
I don't think they're going to get the 92, 93 wins.
I don't either.
Yeah. But if they do and people don't respond to that in a favorable way, then I don't, you know, I'd be a little confused.
I think, and this is the point, like, the team knows that revenue is going to decline this year. Yes, from the TV side, but also on the attendance side. We all expect that. I don't think it's going to, people want to, I got into this with a guy on Twitter about a different topic yesterday, but it's a theme in sports and it's a theme in life a lot. In fact, I just gave my dad a hard time about this during Christmas. Your experience is not everyone's experience when it comes to any particular topic. If you're mad about something, it doesn't mean that everybody else is too. If you think something's terrible, it doesn't mean that everyone agrees, right? We did that about the NFL just a little bit ago, where a lot of we get people yelling at us, why would you ever talk NFL with what they did to St. Louis? I'm like, because people watch. You pointed it out. The TV ratings for the NFL games are strong in St. Louis.
Very strong.
People care. So because you don't care doesn't mean other people don't.
And don't shame the people who do care.
Yeah.
You got to get over it at some point.
And I guess
again, it's an entertainment vehicle.
Because how many times, Bernie, did you get someone, whether it was the baseball strike in the 90s or even more recently the baseball labor disputes, or it was Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, or it's any other thing in sports where like, I'm done. I'm never going to another game. I'm never watching it. And that's fine if you do.
Yeah.
But I don't believe you.
You know, my reaction to those things is always, in every situation, okay, do what pleases you.
Yes.
I mean, it sounds cold, but I really don't care. In other words, because that's your decision.
Yes.
So I support you, whatever you decide.
Correct.
Even if I disagree with, like, I'm not going to do that, but if you want to do that, more power to you. Tip of the cap.
Just don't believe that your view is the world's view.
Yeah, that everyone should subscribe to it.
Right. Because
that's what I can't stand. Yeah,
a lot of this, because I was arguing some college sports stuff over the weekend, and it was basically that. It was, I hate this, and that equates to everyone hates it. Well, that's not true.
Yeah,
Think about the baseball is dying
people,
crowd.
Or if the people who don't hate it, somehow they're naive rubes who are getting played by you know, getting manipulated by teams or whatever. No, that maybe they just like going to the ballpark and having a good time.
But I do think, Bern, that you know, the team is getting to a point. I think Dane Perry made a great point when we were talking to him last hour that unless you're the Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox, where you own your own TV network, Cubs. In the case of the Yankees, the Cubs, and even them, because the only difference is they're not getting guaranteed money. They sell it themselves. Mm-hmm. But so it's a really good point that Dane Perry made is that the Cardinals are in this boat, and I think most teams are. You're going to have to really work hard to compete for fans, to pay for your streaming service directly, to pay for tickets to go, because it used to be a third party that was giving you a huge guaranteed contract, right? It was the regional sports networks giving you a huge guaranteed contract based on what they would get paid from all of the subscriber-based services like cable TV, satellite TV, where even people that didn't watch games were still paying to have your channel. And that's not happening anymore, which is why this whole model is falling apart. So a lot of what subsidized professional sports, not just Major League Baseball, but professional sports, were actually the cable bills of people that don't even watch sports.
That's right.
They were still paying for ESPN if they didn't watch it. They were still paying for, you know, what is now FanDuel Sports Midwest, even if they didn't watch it. That's not happening anymore, which is why this is changing. So you're going to have to compete for those dollars more, which is going to mean an entertaining product is going to be better for you.
Well, that's exactly right. And I was having actually a pleasant discussion on social media this week with a few people. And I love dealing with people who are reasonable. Even if they're angry and upset, as long as they're reasonable, then we can have a really good conversation. There's no such thing as a good conversation between, like, if I try to be reasonable, and I think I have some hardcore views, but I'm least reasonable. I don't like basically berate people who disagree with me. I try to explain why I feel differently. But I was saying, like, I don't have a problem with what the Cardinals are doing in 2025 because they're in a transition year. I don't want the current regime spending money on medium level free agents, overpaying for guys that aren't going to make them better in an appreciable way. So I don't really know why any Cardinal fan would want the current regime to continue misspending on players who they now, you know, like can't unload because it gave no trade contracts to Michaelis and some other, you know. So why with Chaim Bloom about to take over, why in the world would you want the Cardinals to spend more money this year? It makes no sense. Well, see, but they're using this as an excuse to slash the payroll. Okay, even if you're right.
And you might be.
To get to Dane Perry's point, which is also my view, wait a minute. By cutting payroll and getting a lot of people upset about that, that means it's going to be harder for them to recover and get those people back and to get more revenue coming in.
Right.
So, in other words, they're causing damage to themselves this year. And it's like, you know, their relationship with the fans will probably get rougher in 2025. So they're aware of this. They're not, you know, in other words, like they realize this has to be done. This is the way to go. And if we take another hit, a big hit, in terms of revenue, well, we have to do it anyway. So that's why the people like getting all bent out of shape about the payroll going down. In the context of what the Cardinals are trying to do in 2025, why would you having a higher payroll makes no sense.
He's Bernie Miklas. I'm Kevin Wheeler. It's DGS here on KMOX. All right, Bernie Miklas, Kevin Wheeler with you here, DGS on KMOX on a Monday. Bern, let's stay with the Cardinals, and let's go on the field this time. Who's the guy? Is there, you don't have to, it can't be just the guy, but who is a guy that you're really focused on for 2025? I got a couple, but I'm going to pick one, but I'm going to give you the honors. You get to tee off first. Is there a guy that for 2025, you're like, I am really interested in what this player is, what it means, how it impacts the Cardinals moving forward? Anybody?
It's probably
more than one guy.
Yeah, there is. Well, first of all, if you ask me to pick one guy, it's not a current Cardinal. I am so intrigued and so excited by the potential of Quinn Matthews, who, once again, before you dismiss me as some local Fred Bird costume wearing cheerleader because I'm excited about Quinn Matthews. Baseball America, which is a prestigious publication that has been covering minor leagues for a long time, and to me, they're the voice of record when it comes to that. They don't give out like awards just willy nilly. They take this stuff very seriously. Quinn Matthews was the minor league pitcher of the year, all of the minor leagues, every system, because he went through four levels of the minors in one season. He started at low A, and by the end of the year, he was at triple A. He led the minor leagues in strikeouts. He had a great ERA. He dominated hitters at the double A level, which kills pitchers. He checked every box that there is, and they Baseball America said he was our easy choice for minor league pitcher of the year.
Yeah.
And he's really, really close to St. Louis. And to me, it's just a matter of like, okay, if you want to give him some starts at Memphis, he got cuffed around a little bit down there late last year, which is no big deal. He's stepping up one more class to the closest thing there is to the majors. We're going to see him in 2025. It's a matter of whether the Cardinals are going to play games with that. And I don't blame him for being a little cautious. I want to see him very much. And I think that this would be a huge development if the Cardinals can develop their own ace, because they haven't had one in a long time. Not really.
Yeah. I think that
I got other guys too. But
yeah, no, we're just going. I just picked one for time constraints because there's a lot. For me, it's Jordan Walker. I'm a guy that has talked a lot about, and I believe in the fact that down as he goes, Jordan does need to hit the ball in the air more. But the more I'm talking about it, the less I want it to be the focus on mechanics and the more it should be the focus on which pitches you're swinging at. Swing decisions, essentially. Like, are you swinging? If you're swinging at the ball that he has, right, that low slider away, well, you're not hitting that ball in the air. And you're not going to have success with it. So, but to me, though, I think that's one of the very few players in the organization that has the tools of a superstar. And I don't know that he's going to be that, which is why I'm curious to see what this year looks like. Because sometimes guys just need to play through things, and the Cardinals haven't given him that luxury. He and obviously, you know, we'll throw Gorman in that, but I think Walker has been the poster child for the player that has suffered because of the team suffering.
Yeah, well,
because they've gotten off to bad starts, they haven't been willing or able to stick with Jordan Walker when he struggles. Sometimes,
by the way, and they didn't get him ready for the major leagues defensively.
That's correct. Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
That little thing like that.
Yeah, that's correct.
I mean, they screwed the kid.
They did.
They gave him like 6 weeks to play right field in minor league.
I'm sorry, to play right field after. Yeah.
He wasn't ready for the majors.
He should have never played a game at third base in the minor leagues.
They did him wrong.
And I understand, you know, and it goes back to this philosophy sometimes. And this is why I'm saying be more adaptable, right? There are people that say, well, while he's adapting to pro ball, let's keep him comfortable because he's comfortable at third. No, the time to be uncomfortable is when you're in A ball.
That's right.
The time to be uncomfortable is when you're in A ball and eventually double A. The time you want to be comfortable is when you get to the big leagues,
right,
with where you're playing, with what your requirements are. And I think that with this focus on granting guys like him the ability to just play through problems, we're going to find out what his upside really is. And what if he's just Burn? What if he's just a guy that's going to take some time to reach his full potential? He's 21 years old. We don't have to have a finished product at 21 years old. We just need to see progress over a number of years.
There's two sides to this. I just told you where the Cardinals did him wrong.
Yeah.
They did. Absolute negligence. They're handling him in terms of getting him ready defensively. On the other hand, I hope that last year was humbling. I'm sorry that he had to go through it. I wish he wouldn't have. He'll be more responsive to coaching.
Yeah, he has to be. It's a two-way street.
The one criticism I have of Jordan Walker, I'm very patient. I do believe it takes some guys longer where everything starts to click. He came to the big leagues really young. They're not all superstars from day one. He's resistant to coaching, and it's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that his eyes are open now, and that when the new hitting coach is working with him, he'll be more receptive and say, you know what? Okay, we're going to do it this way. But he's like pushed back on the whole get the ball in the air thing since day one.
Yeah.
And his numbers show. I mean, it's such a waste. A guy hits the ball that hard to hit it on the ground as often as he does.
Yeah.
Like, and I can't stand these people that think that the Cardinals are proposing something radical.
No, it's not at all. It's normal.
You know, it's like, you don't want him to hit ground balls. The guy's a beast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can slaughter pitches. You want them? You want line drives and fly balls.
If I told you this year that you were going to get an everyday player who hits 20 home runs, drives in 75 runs, and posts a overall league average offense at the age of 22, what would you say?
I'd be fine.
That's what he is for his career in the major leagues.
I know.
He's played 168 games. Oh, and believe me, I know you do.
He's a lost cause.
Right. You know? I mean, he's had 643 plate appearances, which is essentially an everyday player. 584 at bats, 29 doubles, 21 homers, 71 ribbies. He is 1% above major league average so far in his major league career, and that's with massive struggles that got him sent down. That's why I'm saying just let him play. You're right. The adjustments need to happen, but the adjustments don't need to happen at Memphis. They need to happen at Busch Stadium.
When he hits in the major league so far, when he hits a ground ball, he's about 20% below league average offensively.
Yes. When he hits it in the air, guess what?
But yet, if we had text messages rolling and people say, "Oh, leave him alone. Let him hit the way he wants to hit.
Keep working with him. But do it in the big leagues. That's what I want to see in 2025. Bernie Miklas, Kevin Wheeler with you here on DGS. Obviously, a lot more we're going. Hey, we're going to do a normal DGS thing. We got Dave Murray joining us to do a little weather after the news. Thirty on a Monday here on DGS. Bernie Miklas, Kevin Wheeler hanging out. No Dave Glover, no Rachel Zimmerman, no Andrew Stolz, although Rachel and Andrew will be back with me on Thursday and Friday, and then the whole crew of us will be back to normal on Monday. But we are doing some normal DGS stuff today, including bringing in our buddy Dave Murray. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year to you, man. How's it going?
It's going great.
Dave Murray, Bernie Miklas here. You know, in the last Thursday, Friday, and today, you and I have spoken with each other more than we have our entire lives up until this point.
Listen, like, you guys, for people that are listening, like, these two guys are like Godzillas in St. Louis of media people. You guys are like larger than life rock stars, and you guys never knew each other.
Mainly because, you know, I work nights. Bernie kind of works nights.
Yeah, he's at the ballpark,
He's at the ballpark. I'm never at the ballpark unless it's a weekend game. And so it's just like everybody else on other news channels. You don't really know those people because you never see them. You never have really contact with them.
It's just funny because from the outside, right, if you're just a listener, if you're just paying attention, you would think that all the big people that are big stars that everybody know each other. But because of the practicality of your day-to-day lives, you just don't see each other.
Well, I also have some papers that need to be signed, you know.
Dave, when you were on...
Non-disclosure agreements?
Yeah.
I should say that when I was on with you, because you do these regular hits on the Glover Show, and I'm the guest, my wife asked me when I got home, she said, how did it go? I said, it went really good. I said, you know, one cool thing is, like, I got a chance to talk to Dave Murray. He's been around forever. I've been around forever. And I don't think we've ever had a conversation until then.
Never.
I know. I love it, Dave.
Yeah, it's great.
That is so cool. So cool. All right. So I want to do, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, bigger picture, Dave, like, because we're doing year in review stuff on like the Cardinals and things. I'd just be curious if you had any thoughts
do
on
we
that.
Have to do that?
No. No, it's your segment, dude. We're going to do what you want. Like I said.
No, no.
You guys are the big shooters. I'm just throwing stuff out there.
It's a very disappointing season. It's unfortunately, to me anyway, it seems like it's becoming a habit. And it's sad. It's sad having really been a fan of the Cardinals almost all my life. In fact, how I became a fan of the Cardinals, believe it or not, was we were living in Rhode Island and the Cardinals were playing the Red Sox in a World Series game. I want to say 67.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And my dad got tickets to the game, two games. He took my brother to one and took me to the other. And I became a Cardinal fan that day.
Nice.
I've never liked the Red Sox, so maybe it was an easy thing to do.
No, that's cool. That's a cool. It's a cool origin story for you as a Cards fan. And I'm curious, Dave. You know, as we're doing all of these types of year interview things, how's the weather for 2024 been in our area? Is it typical? Has it been boring? Has it been like what? How would you categorize it?
It's never boring. Never at all. That's why St. Louis weather is so much fun to forecast. It's you know, it's had its ups and downs. We've had too much rain. We've had too little rain. The winters have been a little sad if you're into winter weather and your snow bunnies and things like that. But we've had our fair share of severe weather as far as thunderstorms are concerned. Nothing off the charts, but it's that's been kind of typical. And, you know, it's kind of a typical fun year for St. Louis weather.
Okay. So it kind of falls in line with what we would expect.
I think so for the most part.
How about like this coming month? I know in the winter forecast, if I remember correctly, you kind of called December looking like this.
December got hit really nicely, with the exception of a white Christmas. We had a storm system, but it didn't get the cold air
right
in here. So January still looks like a fairly easy month to take. With that said, the next 5 to 6 days are going to be on the cold side, but I don't see extreme cold. I don't see, you know, record-breaking cold, anything like that. That's going to be over the Great Lakes, the Ohio Valley, and the Northeast. So the cold's going to be close, and we will be more like winter, really starting tomorrow afternoon until at least the 7th or 8th of January, maybe a little bit longer.
All right.
Hey, Dave, we were talking earlier. Kevin Wheeler it was really a fun segment. Going back to 1999 and everything that has changed.
Things that didn't exist then that are like daily now.
All the things you know, we didn't have to read off the list. You know what we're talking about. In your profession, if you go back 25 years, what have been the major changes in what you do for a living?
Oh, everything. Everything.
Do you like it? You've adapted, obviously, to your credit.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
I like it. I like the advance of technology. I like the advance of information. When I started at Channel 5 in 1976, we had magnetic boards that you could draw on.
Wow.
That was our graphics. And I was the first one in St. Louis to bring graphics on board. And it started with just a dot to dot. That's a straight line. Another straight line. Here's another straight line. But it enabled me to do some fun stuff. It enabled me to really learn computers with that, because our engineering department just got so sick and tired of me coming to them and said, I know what to do, but I can't touch it. And it was behind the set. We had a weather center. And after about 2 months of this, because every day it was like, I need you to open up the gate there,
right,
lift this board out, and then shove it back in. And and they were like, okay. And after about a month of this, that was like, we're going to look, you just go ahead and do it. We're just going to look the other way, because this is a real pain in the butt. And I said, that's great.
There we go.
I love it.
That's the answer
wonderful.
You wanted. So if you look ahead now, Dave, how maybe this is a better way to do this, a little look back and ahead at the same time. How much better and more accurate are forecasts now than they were 25 years ago? And do you think it's going to be a similar change moving 25 years into the future, or is it going to get better and better faster and faster?
Yeah, a lot of folks will say it's getting better. It's going to get better faster. I'm not necessarily sold on that. I'm also not overly sold that the weather forecasts over the last 25 years have gotten a lot better. They've gotten better. There's no question about that. And warnings as far as severe weather, tornadoes, thunderstorms, hurricanes, all that kind of stuff have gotten very, very good. But the day-to-day forecast, there's still a lot of expertise, individual expertise that comes into play. It's just not all computer models. And the longer we go, more computer models get in. AI is starting to get involved in this. But it's an easy saying. You put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. And the weather with observations and stuff, still a lot of garbage. It could be as simple as a temperature being wrong from an observation station, a wind direction being wrong. And the computers sometimes just don't pick that up, but a person can say, okay, that's it. And a person can also look at a computer model and go, I know the physics of this. I know the dynamics of this. This is wrong. This has no clue of what's going on. And there's not enough people doing that anymore. The intuition factor has to come into play. Now, maybe AI will start to solve that.
Right.
But you've got to get the human brain involved in it.
Yeah, that's kind of why I wanted to get into it, because AI is going to be the overarching thing that we talk about for the next 20 to 25 years, because it impacts everything. It's right. going to impact healthcare, sports. It's going to impact weather, the whole deal.
And there are, AI is being thrown into its own computer models, kind of separate from everything else, but the information's the same. And
pulling from the same sources, right?
Yeah, and there's been some instances where AI has driven like monster hurricanes up the East Coast. That's, no, that's not, and it didn't happen. And so again, you've got to take all the computer models with a real grain of salt. I have, because of just how old I am, I have a real distrust of computer models, and that's a healthy thing. That's a really healthy thing to have.
It's a good thing to have the tool and then have the ability to use it rather than just run with it.
Exactly. You know, again, as I've always said, make the forecast first. Make your individual forecast first, and then go look at the stuff that's out there. Maybe to prove your forecast, maybe to disprove your forecast. But I can only speak personally. I have never put a forecast together, which I do on a daily basis, and looked at a computer model and changed my forecast. I will never do that. Just will never do that.
Dave, I want to add to this because I can actually draw a sports analogy out of this. Like, there's a big debate among baseball fans. They hate the analytics. They hate the technology. They hate all these new terms and new things, the new vocabulary about measuring hitting and all this other stuff. They say, well, get all that stuff out of the game. You got to have the human element. And Tony La Russa has said, hey, all of this new math, all of these analytics, all that stuff makes a lot of sense. But you can't take the human element out of it. You can't just read what's on a paper or
exactly.
a printout. You got it.
You know what? Right. That ties directly into weather.
Right.
It's the exact same thing.
Right. That's what I thought when I heard you saying that. I said, "What? I've heard this before, and that's a good thing."
Yeah.
You know, because like a guy like Tony La Russa believes in the same principles. One of the great managers ever.
Yeah.
You know,
I love him. I've had a chance to meet him, talk to him several times, and just what a great guy. What a great guy.
So, Dave, you're a great guy, too. We get the privilege of talking to you every day here on DGS, and we appreciate that, man.
I know. Just old hat.
I'm going to miss not talking to
Dave. Yeah,
I'm going to miss Dave.
Well, come on your segments.
Oh, there we go. We'll bring them together.
I'll do a YouTube with him.
There we go.
Be a YouTube guest tomorrow.
No, we're not doing that.
Exactly.
Well, Dave, Happy New Year. We appreciate you. I don't know. Are we trying to hook up tomorrow after the Billikens game? I don't know what the schedule is going to look like.
No, tomorrow and the first, I'll be off.
Awesome.
I'll still be doing the weather for KMOX. And you know what? Speaking of that, we didn't do any weather.
Oh, I thought, okay, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
So we've got rain coming back tonight. There'll be a few showers this evening, cold rain overnight, but all rain. If you hear a rumble of thunder, don't be surprised. Morning rain on Tuesday, but the afternoon is cloudy, windy from the northwest. 45, it's going to feel colder than that. New Year's Eve is quiet. It's mainly cloudy, in the 30s for evening plans, 28 for the low. New Year's Day is fine, mostly sunny, but it's colder, 38, though nothing weird. There's two things coming up. We could see a couple of snow flurries around Thursday night. I don't think it's a big deal. And then because a lot of people disappear now with the New Year's and holidays continuing, there is a shot of a mix of rain, sleet, freezing rain and snow late Saturday night and into Sunday. Borderline temperatures Sunday of about 33, 34 degrees. So that has a potential not to be a big storm, but it has a potential to cause some travel problems. So we'll be keeping an eye on that.
All right, we will too. Dave, Happy New Year to you. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you later in the week.
You too, guys. Bernie, it's been great fun.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
That's so great. I think it's just funny because it makes sense because you're never in the same place at the same time.
Right.
But like it was like the same era, same years.
Exactly.
And you're both like, you know, big people that everybody in town knows and you just didn't get the chance to know each other.
He is so excellent at what
he does. God.
What a good guy. Too.
Yeah, the best. Great to have him as an asset and as a friend here on the show.
No doubt.
He's the best.
I really have enjoyed speaking with him.
That's Dave Murray. Obviously, we'll get back to Dave coming up later on in the week when we get more back to normal here on DGS. Bernie Miklas, Kevin Wheeler with you here on a Monday. We're going to This is going to actually tie in. The next topic is going to tie in a little bit to what we just talked about with things that have changed and things that are continuing to change. But we're going to go away from sports and a little bit into the entertainment world. All right, quick hitter here. Bernie Miklas, Kevin Wheeler here on DGS. We were talking with Dave Murray about, and we've talked about it on the sports side of things, but we were talking about with weather, with how things are changing and you know, with technology pushing things in different directions. You know, the entertainment world is changing a little bit too, Bern, and this story has been, I think, picking up a lot of heat here over the last couple of days, and I marked it down. But apparently, and I understand the philosophy here, but I think it's really stupid. So apparently Netflix, they produce a lot of their own TV shows, a lot of their own movies, right? They're not just pulling things from other places. They're making their own. So they're telling the writers of the things that they are paying to put out essentially to dumb everything down and have the characters announce what they're doing. Like, I'm going to go get that guy now, because they're tailoring their programming to people who just want stuff on in the background and they're not really going to pay attention to it. So which seems so really stupid.
I'm a hitman. I'm going to go whack this guy. Yeah. Now. So the people that are on their phones,
they'll
are
say,
look
"Oh yeah,
say,
oh, I better watch. I better watch thing. Now." Yeah.
So, like, it's hysterical, and there's been a big backlash. There's been people saying they're going to cancel their prescriptions because, like, oh, so you think I'm an idiot? Well, I don't need your service. There's a lot of that. That may be posturing. I don't know. But what's the next step? Here's one. I'm on my phone sometimes if I'm bored.
Yeah,
first of all, if you have better programming,
make it less boring. Yeah.
I won't be bored. and I like a fast paced thing.
Yeah.
I like 40-minute shows rather than an hour shows. Mm-hmm. I admit it. But what's next? Is there going to be are they going to slip into the closed caption or whatever? Something like, don't worry, you're not missing anything. Right? Just you're not missing anything, but in about 5 minutes, there's going to be a great scene.
Yeah. Well, here's
maybe
the thing.
They need to do that. They'd be to say, like, 5 minutes, you're going to see this. So make sure you're watching.
This is where I would argue that any executive that's making this a point is an idiot. Okay.
Well,
because people.
But aren't we a nation of idiots?
Yes. But these are high paid people, and they're idiots if they think this makes sense. Because, first of all, you are now telling all the rest of us not to watch it. You're telling
That's
everybody
right.
that wants to pay attention to it to not even bother because it's not for you. And the people that are going to watch the way that they're describing it, they like to call them casual viewers. So they want to be on their phone. They want to be doing other things and have the TV on in the background. I do that, too. We all do that. But what you do is you just find something already existing that you're not that stressed about. Maybe it's a true crime show. Maybe it's something you've seen already. That content already exists. You don't need to specifically make it. That content is already on your service for anybody that wants to use it that way. What's the sense of making an inferior product that the rest of your consumers are just not going to watch?
Well, let me ask
because
you,
it's so stupid.
Let me ask you this, and I guess I'm playing devil's advocate,
all right,
but not in a serious way. But if this gets the bubblehead generation to maybe know, like you get their attention, you get their attention, and then they're going to stay with it instead of clicking and going somewhere else. Isn't that an effective strategy? And the other thing is, like, people like you and I, not that we're any great genius, right? Are we even going to pick up on the fact that they're trying to telegraph to us in the script?
I mean,
what's happening? What's going to be happening?
I've sometimes wondered if they were doing it on purpose because it's so dumb.
I don't know if I would have picked up on it. Not because I'm dumb, but just because it's like, there's bad writing in every show.
Yeah, that's true. I guess there's my point. It already exists.
Right,
why create more of it?
No, I know.
I don't know. It's just a weird thing.
Everyone's chasing, you know, data-driven strategies.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, what
goes
can we
back
do?
To what we just talked about.
Right.
The data might say something, but the human beings need to interpret it better.
You know, I got news for you. Someone's on TikTok, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to have a short. They're not going to have an attention span to stick with a movie for 2 hours, even if you tell them, like, hello, hey, we're about to do this. You're still not going to get. You're not going to keep them.
No.
Not going to happen. Lost cause.
Bernie Miklas, Kevin Wheeler, with you here. It's DGS on a Monday on KMOX.